Welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for joining us. And it is a finally Friday after a jam-packed farm show week here in North Dakota. We had Big Iron. Justin and I and Dean spent a lot of time out there and had a lot of great days visiting with all of you as listeners. Thank you for joining us. One of the things I wanted to make sure to do today was to recognize all of those exhibitors who put in so much time and effort into their booth spaces. In fact, there are exhibitor awards. And in case you didn't know, some of those exhibitors would include overall best of show was Horsch. Best outdoor display, the first place was Infinity Ag. The runner-up was North Star Ag. Large indoor space went to Versatile. And also T&E Tools was the runner-up. Best small indoor, Blue Horizon Energy. When you turn the lights off in that building, I think their booth just literally glowed. And the runner-up there was North Dakota Soybean Council, which was tied to the best field demo. That was Cross Plane Solutions. Those folks were doing a daily demonstration of a soybean-based foam for firefighters. And my understanding is there was a lot of rural firefighters who stopped to see and take a look. It was a good day for many of them. So hopefully you guys all got out there. Justin, did you get a little nap in? It's warm. It was windy. It was a busy day yesterday.
I had a lot of dirt getting thrown at my face, and I wore shorts. So it actually felt like you know, like when you feel something that's really hot, it feels cold.
Yes.
Like that initial, like really, really hot water feels cold when you first touch it, and then it burns you, and like, oh God, this is hot. Why is my hand still in here? That's the feeling mm-hmm. that dirt and the rocks were giving my legs when I was getting hit with it. Like I felt like a cold sting.
The word you're looking for is sandblasting. We had some pretty strong winds yesterday, and definitely got home and needed to scrape off a layer of dust and grime. So it's not quite as windy today, right?
I think it's just as windy today. Just as windy today as it was yesterday. And we're seeing wind gusting to 38 miles per hour now here out of the south. And, well, the cloud cover is not quite here, so it's getting a little toasty out there. But most of North Dakota is under a decent amount of cloud cover out there, and that's due to rain showers that are developing along a cold front. There's some thunder and lightning in there as well, so we can call them thunder showers, I suppose. And those are parked from Ashley and Wishick, Napoleon, between Bismarck and Jamestown, up through Carrington, New Rockford, the Devil's Lake Basin, Langdon, and up towards Winnipeg. And for the most part, these showers are just going to stay there for a couple of hours, and they'll just move basically to the north, and new showers to the south will entrain over the spots that are getting showers right now. It's not going to be until this later afternoon and evening that cold front picks up a little speed and heads into the valley and eventually into Minnesota throughout tonight. And as it does so, it will be weakening and kind of fizzling out. So we'll just call it a line of scattered showers and a few thunder showers for this evening. And then that sets the stage for a nice weekend. Bridget, do you got any nice weekend plans coming up?
I do. Can they be indoor or outdoor? Does it matter?
They can be whatever you want.
It's going to be nice outside.
It will
be nice.
Well,
outside. I might go outside then.
Yeah, I got some. I got a wee bit of harvesting to do. My tomatoes, which are, I'm surprised they're standing, but the top third is basically just flopping in the wind right now. So I can only imagine what the stems actually look like. But I got lots of tomatoes to go out there and pick.
Okay, and are you planning on canning this weekend as well?
I want to, but it's just so hard to find the time to do it. I mean, with all the
You have a little boy.
I got a 2-year-old and all the other crap around the house that needs to get done. And, well, you know how canning and salsa is. It's at least a few-hour project. Usually it's a day project.
Tell me if this is rude. I have guests coming tomorrow, and I have a healthy crop of onions. And so I would like to can French onion soup. Is it wrong to just welcome my guests with open arms and a box of jar lids and say, hey, I'm glad you're here. Could you slice this? Because we got some work to do.
No, go right ahead, especially if they're family.
And they are. So for
you put
all the
family
coming
to work.
Today, see when you get here, guys.
That's how you make them think twice before they show up a second time. Like, oh, I don't know. We might get put to work if we go over there again.
I think they should just be glad that I don't live on a full-size farm anymore and can just drag them into all sorts of other operations they were least expecting.
Wouldn't that be something? Yeah, but back to the forecast. Yeah, it's going to be nice over the weekend. You know, I can't say that there's not going to be a pop-up shower because there's potential on both Saturday and Sunday to see one in the middle of the afternoon around peak heating. But as a whole, the days are dry and our best chance for a spotty shower comes through the overnight hours, both Saturday night and Sunday night. Sunday night a little more likely than Saturday night. That being said, afternoons during the day, partly cloudy, light wind on Saturday, a gentle breeze, about 10 to 15 on Sunday out of the south, and highs in the low 80s on Saturday and mid 80s on Sunday. So it's a nice weekend. Like I said, there will probably be a shower or two that briefly pops up over the weekend, but most of it will be overnight.
Well, I think many people are looking forward to being out and about. It's some nice weather now before we really get into the big throes of harvest. There's still some going on. I've had many snaps this morning with folks that are doing a little bit of work, finishing up some of those last fields. Certainly, there's been some dry bean harvest that's going on. We haven't started a lot of soybeans yet, and I had some messages from folks. Certain parts of Iowa have already started picking corn, as they call it, which is a term that we rarely use here. Well, normally we just combine corn, but...
Or do you hawk it?
There's some really weird terminology that happens between areas and farming. So,
I bet you most of it comes out of Iowa, isn't it?
Well, there's some argument of, is that when you buy land, let's say you buy a quarter of land, I would say you bought a field. In other parts of the U.S., such as Wisconsin, they say, well, I bought a farm. Well, here, a quarter land isn't a whole farm.
Okay, what's a quarter then, Bridget? A lot of us don't know what a quarter is.
Oh, I'm sorry. So think of that as 160 acres. That's basically, you're looking at a field in many cases. So that's one field, not the whole farm. Does that make more sense, Justin? Kind of.
Yes. So basically, a quarter is just a field that's 160 acres.
Yes, whereas in other parts of the country, they say it's a whole farm.
160 and quarter? Where do those words come from?
Okay, so remember that when we had land laid out here when it was surveyed, every county was broken down into sections and townships. So your entire township is made up of, and I'm doing this off the top of my head, 36 sections, and within each, 36 sections. Each section is 640 acres, I believe it is, and designated a specific township within, a specific section with every township was designated for the school to be built. There's a lot of history that goes with that. We had an episode with someone from North Dakota Land Surveyors at one point, and he talked a lot about how that all breaks down. But yes, we do have a very distinct language about how we look at acres, farms, if we're combining corn or picking corn. And then there's the whole argument farmers have about, is that a headland or an end row? What's that area at the beginning of the field where you come off the road right into the field? What do you call it? Constant arguing about that on social media. It's a good time. Feel free to join us over there.
It sounds like, what do you call the last and first slice of bread? Is it the end piece? Is it the butt? I call it the butt.
Is it the heel?
What do you call it? Yeah, the heel.
The heel. We always thought it was the heel.
Is that
of
what
bread.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we got end, heel, butt. Has anyone else got a weird name for the end piece of a loaf of bread? 701-293-9000. Red Wing Shoe Shoe Line. That's brought to you by Red Wing Shoes out there on Main Avenue in Fargo. Go give Teresa a visit. She can hook you up with a good deal and a good set of boots that will, well, if they're anything like mine, last you a good 12 years. And they're still kicking.
They're good boots,
by the way. They look great. Maybe if I did more work in them, they'd probably get beat up a little more. No, I'm just kidding. They're great boots. But going back to the whole quarter conversation, I was, in my mind, sure. I was thinking a quarter would be, I don't know, 25 acres or maybe 250 acres, you know, like a quarter of a dollar, you know, 0.25.
Well, also remember when we equate the size of an acre to make it understandable, 1 acre is about the size of a football field. So just think about that when you're putting it in your mind as to the size and scope of what we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
every state operates on something a little bit different, whether we are considering a quarter a lot of land or a small amount of land. It just depends where you are.
Yeah, in the game, you said it's 164? Is that what it was?
160. No, what, just 160.
Oh, just 160, okay. So, I mean, that's a... That's a decent-sized field. I mean, when I'm playing my simulator games, it depends, but I'm usually in that, I don't know, 160 acres is what I farm in the game. And, you know, I buy the biggest, at some point, I buy the biggest equipment you can basically get, but, I mean, it still takes me hours to do stuff. Even on just
go big or go home.
Just 100-some acres, it takes a long time.
Well, it does in real life, too. Mm-hmm. And... in real life, we're actually going to have a farmer as a guest today. I'm going to introduce you to Dan Byers. Dan is in Illinois. He farms, but he also has a lot to say about powerlifting, nutrition. Maybe I shouldn't call it powerlifting, but bodybuilding. I'm not sure what the right term is, but Dan does. And so we'll hear that from him right after this. Welcome back to Weather and Egg and Focus, a day that we're recuperating from being at Big Iron for 3 days. But boy, did we have a good time and got to see a number of our folks that we work with for our Here We Grow project. That's our custom farming of 20 acres north of Glendon, Minnesota. Once we get done, finished combining, we're going to take our profits and donate them to Farm Rescue. All the good work that they do supporting so many farmers in 9 different states. They've recently expanded into Wisconsin. A couple of those sponsors that we visited with, Pivot Bio. In fact, we had a chance to have Dan Gefstrud, one of their employees, join us on air, and we talked a little bit about corn harvest because it's coming fairly soon, especially ours on our 20 acres, and also Fultz Buildings. They had a site right across the alleyway from us where they had a Fultz building up. Those are the folks that are going to help you make your building dreams come true, whether it is machinery, sheds, shops, cabins, and so much more. Let Fultz Buildings help you when you're ready. We have a guest today that I know through social media, and I've long watched his photos and videos and just wondered, how's this guy do it all? So I get to meet, just like you do today, Dan Byers. Dan, how are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Doing well. Okay, so what's the background? Who are you? Where do you live? What do you do?
I live in West Central Illinois. Married with 3 little girls. I graduated from the University of Illinois in 2001 and came home to work with my dad with our operation. We're corn, soybean, and cattle operation. But along with that, our kind of our main business is we've got a custom forage harvesting business, chopping and bagging silage for other farmers. And so I've kind of been involved, you know, with that since college, and as dad looks to transition more and more into retirement, kind of taking that over and keeping things going.
Okay, Dan, I already started with a ton of questions, and one of those I'm going to go right back to is your custom forage business, because that's not something that folks necessarily hear about a lot. Y'all tend to work in the background, mm-hmm. and not everybody right. sees it. So what are you custom cutting? You said you're bagging it. Just give us kind of the start to finish what's happening in an operation like that for those who might not know.
Yeah, you know, like out west or other parts of the country, a lot of times, you know, they're putting up big bunkers, you know, for silage, you know, and that. Around here, you know, a lot of our customers don't put up the volume that would justify, you know, that type of storage. And so, you know, we'll chop it and then we'll put it in, you know, the big long white silage bags, as I describe to people, looks kind of like a big loaf of bread, basically. And so, you know, it's kind of a more efficient, storage, you know, for them. We run, our business has varied over the years, but we currently run, 4 crews, you know, with that machine and kind of spread it, you know, throughout our region that we cover here in Illinois.
So when you're doing the custom cutting for folks, and I know you said bagging it, most of us who grew up years back on a farm, we just piled silage. What's the yep. better reason for bagging versus a pile?
You know, around here, there's a lot of, you know, cow herds that might be, say, 100 head of cows or 150. And so the advantage being, you know, you put it in a pile, you know, the key to putting in a pile is getting it packed, you know, and having enough volume there that to, you know, to help with any sort of spoilage or anything. If a person's only putting up, you know, say 200 tons of silage for a smaller herd, then it's just not really feasible for them to put up a, you know, a pile packet. And then when they go to feed out of that, you know, still have good quality feed. Whereas, you know, the bag, as long as you keep the air out of it, it's sealed tight. You know, you could let it sit there for 2 years unopened and be fine. And so as they're feeding out of it, you know, they're not having to worry about, you know, trying to feed it so fast to keep the, you know, spoilage from occurring, I guess.
Absolutely. Actually, I am trying to get a picture of like a forage harvester for us to put into the live stream for people to see, because they look more aggressive than a combine, Dan. What's the safety that you can do with a machine like that? Or how much safety should you practice around those?
Don't get out of the cab.
yeah.
The thing running, for one. And you know, the, like ours and other modern ones, you know, if you get out of the driver's seat, it's going to shut the machine, you know, disengage the main clutch anyway. So that being said, don't put somebody in the seat and then you get out and do whatever. But it's a lot of moving parts. I tell any, you know, people talk about the high maintenance of a combine. Well, that in my opinion, that dwarfs in comparison to a forage harvester. It's just, I mean, it's a lot of moving parts. It's a violent action that's taking place. I mean, you're taking 8 or 10 rows of, you know, 200, 250 bushel corn, you know, shoving it into the small hole and grinding it up. And, you know, there's just a lot of aggression there. And, you know, you see what it does to a corn plant. You can just imagine that would, what that would do to one of us, you know. So, you know, we definitely practice some caution with that.
Looks like a nasty piece of equipment there. We just got a photo pulled up on the live stream of it. I mean, it looks cool, but it's a little intimidating.
yeah. No, it definitely can be an intimidating machine. It's you know, when things are working right, it's a fun machine to run. That being said, if you have an issue or two, it can be aggravating too, just like anything else. But you know, it's not anything. I mean, the maintenance on them on an annual basis, you know, depending on the machine, sometimes it can add up in a hurry.
Well, if you're not watching the live stream, but you're curious, I think if you took a stack of 3 saw blades, laid them parallel to the ground, and then put about probably 6 of them in a line, and then drove towards a cornfield, that thrashing action is maybe what it would look like, Dan. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, that's a probably better accurate description than I could give. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you, you don't want to stand in front of that thing when it's coming down down the field, that's for sure.
No.
So, Dan, you also have a beef operation. That's not necessarily common in East Central Illinois. When I think of Illinois, I think of corn and soybeans, just like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Are you a bit of a oddball in the crowd, you might say, having beef as well?
I mean, there's beef around, but it's just not, you know, that's allowed the growth of our silage businesses. You know, it's not like out in Kansas and Oklahoma and Texas where, you know, you've got these massive, you know, feedlots. You know, we've got feedlots here, but nothing near on that scale, and a lot more, you know, cow-calf, you know, operations. But, you know, it kind of depends on where you're at in Illinois. You get central Illinois around, you know, Springfield, Bloomington. It's probably as flat black a high productive dirt as you'll find. Here in West Central Illinois, it's a little bit of a mix of everything. I mean, I would call us a mix of, for lack of a better term, kind of a mix of Central Illinois and parts of Missouri, if that makes sense. You know, very good ground. But at the same point, we've got some, you know, rolling ground as well.
Well, and Dan, you're a mix of things too.
Yeah. Of the operation of doing beef and ranching and silage and farming, which one do you prefer over the other if you had to pick one, and why?
I probably the forage harvesting business. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's just,
dangerous looking spinny sharp equipment.
Well, I think it's probably more of a, I think it's probably more of a point of pride on from my standpoint. I mean, my dad started this in 1983. So, you know, with one machine, and he bought it. He bought it because he was starting out farming, and he was trying to coordinate with one custom chopper operator and one custom bagger operator and get their schedules to match up with his to get his silage chopped and bagged. And he thought to himself, you know, it'd be a lot more convenient if you could just have a one-stop shop. And so he bought it to do his own work and then start doing a little bit for a few neighbors to help pay for the equipment. And then, you know, kind of took off from there. So yeah, I kind of look at, you know, my dad is kind of a pioneer in Illinois. I mean, there's, you know, nationwide, there's much bigger operators than we are in terms of volume scale. But, you know, I'm pretty fairly confident he's probably the first full scale start to finish custom operator in Illinois that, you know, kind of got things going. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been others that have come along since, but, so I guess that, you know, just from a personal pride standpoint, I'd probably say that it's something unique we do compared to others around here and, you know, that
sure.
kind of thing.
And, Addison, I don't know if you want to pull that photo back up of the forager, harvester, but it looks like there's a chute off there. Now, do you load that up into another truck or just lay it on the ground, or can you do the bagging? Cause you said you bag this as well, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. What we do is we'll either, with that spout, we either blow it into a truck or a wagon.
Okay.
And then it haul, then, you know, it gets hauled to the bagging machine and it's unloaded, you know, off of them directly into the bagging machine.
Okay. And how big are these bags? Is it a certain weight or you just fill them up? How big are these bags getting that you fill?
The ones that we fill, I mean, there's different diameter bags that you can get depending on your machine. Okay. Our bagging machines, are a 10-foot diameter tunnel. And then they can be anywhere in length from 100 feet to 150, 200, 250, 300, and 400 feet, depending on, you know, the volume that it comes down to two things. One, the volume that the customer needs. And number two, the space that they have to lay the bag down. So, you know, because everybody's got a certain spot they want to put it. And so, for example, you know, a customer might need 400 feet worth of plastic. But they don't have the barnyard space for that, so we might put up, like, say, two 200s instead to kind of get similar objective that way.
How do you move those things once you fill them up? I mean, one, the size of them is pretty impressive by themselves, but I'm sure the weight in it as well is quite a challenge on some of those larger bags.
Yeah, you that's the thing. They don't get moved. It's it's a where we fill it is, that's where the customer is going to feed out of, you know, that fall, winter, spring, or whatever. So
I see. So you must do pretty local business then.
I mean, anymore, we used to travel further from home than we do now. We've kind of tightened our territory up. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we get, you know, 60 to 100 miles from home, you know, doing it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we essentially travel. We just take our equipment, we travel to their farm, and then, you know, chop their corn and put the bag where they want it. And then when we're done, ourselves and our equipment leave, and we leave behind what they get to work with, you know, from there on out.
Cool. Well, hey, I know we got more questions here, Dan, but we got to catch up on bottom of the hour news here across the town. So we're going to hit that real quick, but we'll come back. We'll continue this conversation. We'll switch into the a little bit more about the beef business. And you also do some fitness as well and bodybuilding. So we want to ask a few questions on that. And if listeners have any questions about the operation or something you heard, feel free to reach out to us, 701-293-9000. That's the Red Wing Shoe Line. Or you can utilize our email inboxes. That's weatherorag@flagfamily.com. Comment boxes there on Facebook, YouTube Live, or Bridget's personal phone if you happen to have her number. We've said it a few times on the air, but we will not be repeating it today. Stay tuned. Right after local news, we'll be back.
Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. It's been a fun day of catching up after being on the road for Big Iron the last few days. And we have a guest with us all the way from Illinois. And that would be Dan Byers. Okay, Dan, we've been talking about your operation, corn, soybeans, beef, for custom forage cutting. You have a direct-to-consumer beef operation as well. But I also know that you're a pretty big fan of fitness. Do I call it bodybuilding, powerlifting? Yeah. What do I call that?
No. What I do is bodybuilding.
So is that stem from your beef operation because you use that as such a great protein source, or how did that all start?
No, our direct beef marketing portion of our business, we named it Six Pack Meats, and that stemmed from my bodybuilding background. We're trying to come up with a name, and probably the percentage of operations where somebody competes in bodybuilding and is involved in, beef or whatever, is probably, 0.5%, or I just thought it was kind of something unique to what we do, that in, something that's kind of near and dear to my heart. And so that's how the name of the direct meat mark business. But I was doing bodybuilding long before, we started that, here in the last few years. So
was it easy to transition from lifting parts on equipment and wrestling cattle to bodybuilding?
it's just something, I've been working out, consistently since 2009. And it's just in the kind of last, in the last several years, been working with a bodybuilding coach who, he writes my meal plans, kind of adjust my cardio or weight training or whatever. The last 6 years is when I started getting serious as far as competing and that kind of thing. So.
Okay. We were watching on the live stream. There was like the before and the after picture of you. Mm-hmm. How long did it take to go from that to that, where you're winning and competing like that?
Oh, I mean, there's honestly a few years in between there, but I kind of had when I started to compete, I kind of had a mindset switch. It kind of flipped, and now I'm in a different place mentally than I was, back then, So now, for example, I'll compete and I'll be in prep. And so you're trying to lose weight and lean out and, get as lean as you can for the stage. But in the off season, we're pushing calories, no cardio, trying to get big and put muscle on. And so, my weight will fluctuate anywhere from, 40 pounds or so in a given year. Mm-hmm. For example, yeah, when I started prep this last year, I got up to 240 pounds, I've been 240 pounds or more in my life, but it was a way different body composition back then. But I started January at 240 pounds. And by the time I took the stage last spring in like mid April, I was less than 202, and then, keep it off. And then once I'm done competing for the year, then we start over again, just trying to build new tissue, bigger physique for the next year.
So when going through a process like that, obviously it's dedication in the gym and working out and whatnot, but what's a nutritional standpoint? What does that look like for somebody who's going through muscle gain and bodybuilding?
It kind of varies, on your goal when we're trying to build, obviously we'll up the protein as far as, beef and chicken and that kind of thing. But we'll add quite a bit more carbs. For example, one of my meals last off season was 9 ounces of ground beef, with a cup of broccoli and a cup and a half of white rice. And that was one meal. The thing is, I had that same meal a second time in a day, And that's in addition to four other meals that I had, you know, during the day.
Oh,
you're putting in quite a bit of calories then.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, because you said the broccoli, the rice, the steak, and I'm like, that sounds normal. I didn't realize that was six times a day.
That was one of six
meals.
Well,
yeah. I'll just real quick give you what that off-season diet was. It was start off the day with like 10 egg whites,
10?
Yeah, 10 egg whites.
I have like four eggs, and I'm like, oh, yeah.
Well, the egg whites make a big difference. Yeah, but 10 egg whites, 2 whole eggs, and then a cup and a half of oats in the morning with a banana, and a tablespoon of chopped walnuts. After my workout, it'd be like 2 scoops of protein powder and a shake, and then lunch was like 6 ounces of chicken, a cup of broccoli, and a cup and a half of white rice, and then for about mid-afternoon, that's when I'd have the 9 ounces of ground beef with the cup of broccoli and a cup and a half of white rice. And then I would repeat that meal again. And then before bed, I'd have 6 ounces of filet with a cup of broccoli and then finish off with 12 more egg whites.
No pale ice cream mixed in there somewhere?
it's not to say
you gotta treat yourself.
Yeah, occasionally there is, but I'll be honest, when you're trying to eat that kind of volume of food, of like whole food, yes, that's the time of year where you could treat yourself, but honestly, it's enough volume of food that it kind of squelches my desire to have that, because it's just,
sure,
it's a lot of food to get down.
You're sick of eating. How many math?
Yeah.
How many calories were you putting in a day? You're up at like what, 5 to 8,000?
Nah, actually, it probably between 3,500 and 4,000.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Okay, that's really good.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
How does that fit into farming? Because I've watched some of your pictures and so forth about meal prep, and I so often see farmers. Lunch boxes, cab snacks. They don't look like yours, Dan. So how does that work?
Well,
I mean, I want a bag of Doritos. You don't.
Yeah, right. No, does not say I don't want a bag. I just don't do it. But,
right.
I'm a fanatic about meal prep. I mean, I've got a lot of weaknesses, you know, I'll fully admit it, but the one thing I will hang my hat on competing with anybody is I'm very disciplined about my meal prep, that like I don't have at least 1 week's worth of meals frozen and prepped and ready in my freezer at a time. And in fact, in the past, what I've done, I didn't do it this year cause I'm in a different role with our silage business. I'm kind of overseeing things rather than having to run a machine. So I didn't do it, but in the past, right before silage season, I would do a massive prep and make and freeze up to 8 weeks worth of meals, you know, so it's ready to go. And it's just one less thing that I've got to worry about. And so every night, like clockwork, I set out what meals I'm going to have the next day so that they can thaw out overnight. And then I just transfer them into containers. And, you know, I take my meals to the field just like anybody else. The only difference is I would hate to bet the hundreds of, or if not thousands of cold meals of either ground beef and rice and broccoli or chicken or whatever that I've had in a tractor combine or Ford harvester cab.
That's true. It's not nearly as exciting as one would think.
No.
So,
I got one quick one here, Bridget. How'd you find, or how did you, how do I put it? How was it for you balancing all of these things between working with cattle or beef and ranch, farming, powerlifting, family? How did all that balance together for you? Or was it kind of like fit pretty well, or was it a struggle at times?
I'm not saying there's not struggles, but I feel like for the most part, I've kind of managed to make it work in that, you know, for one, as far as my training, we've got a home gym set up in our basement that's, I'll I mean, it's nice. There's
second to none. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably better than some commercial gyms, to be honest with you. So that way I'm not restricted by leaving the house. You know, we live in an area where I'd have to drive 10 or 15 minutes, maybe more like 20 or 25 to get a decent gym. Mm-hmm. And then you're restricted by their hours, whereas I can train any time of the day that I want. And so I get up, you know, that's kind of my big thing is my 3:05 a.m. wake up call, you know, get up, start my routine. And even if I'm doing 60 minutes of cardio along with a 45 minutes or so weight training session, you know, that's all done before I leave the house, you know, 6:30, 7 o'clock of a morning. So that way it doesn't get in the way of my work, and I'm not coming home at night with three little girls and mm-hmm. well, you know, daddy's got to go downstairs and I'll see you after I haven't, you know, been home all day. I try and take care of it when everybody else is sleeping, if that makes sense.
Right. No, I feel the same way, and I have a 2-year-old at home, so I kind of run into the same thing, although I don't balance as large of things as, say, you're doing with some of those dedications and whatnot, but it is hard sometimes and whatnot, just trying to balance and get everything done in a day that needs to get done.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's just one of those things that, you know, you figure out. I mean, we were at the state fair in August with my daughter's two oldest daughters showing pigs, and my wife and our 17-month-old didn't come down until later in the week just because trying to corral a 17-month-old in a public mm-hmm. place. But and so anyway, I just had to have it, you know, I had to have it figured out as far as somebody to watch the girls while I snuck off to train and come back. And you know, it's just a matter for me of just thinking ahead and projecting, mm-hmm. okay, where am I going to be? You know, how am I going to get it in? And just basically not allowing myself to have an excuse that some way or somehow we modify it and make it work.
Sure. Right. Well, I only got about a minute or so left of the show here, at least for our interview segment. That'll come to a close here pretty soon. Again, about probably a minute or two. But let's hit on a quick highlight on the meat business. It was six-pack meats. Was that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you right. do you guys yep. got like a website or anything going on with that? Do you do direct sales to customers, or what's going on with that?
Yeah. Yeah. We have our website, sixpackmeats.com. We've got pre-boxed bundles that you know people can order and buy, or if they contact me direct, you know, I can put together a custom box and a quote for them, you know, price wise. But so far we ship every Monday to allow adequate delivery during the week, so we don't get caught on the weekend. And so far, since we started in March of 2020. We've shipped 34 states in the United States, including a box to Hawaii. So
oh, right on, cool.
Wow.
Well, I don't know about Bridget. I'm gonna be checking out the website here. I'd love to browse around a little bit, if you may say that, and see if I can find something I might want to try out. But cool. What was that website one more time again for anyone listening that want to check something out?
Yeah. No, appreciate that. The website is sixpackmeats.com.
Cool. And then I don't know if you do any YouTube or Facebook, social media, anything following your journey or whatnot, whether it's with powerlifting or just the operation as a whole. If you want to plug that, feel free to do so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it mm-hmm. is at DanByers90. And Instagram is at DanByers90. Facebook, if you look up Dan Byers, if you see a guy with on stage with a tan and posing trunks, that's me. and then we've also have a business page for Six Pack Meats on both Facebook and Instagram.
Awesome. If someone's struggling, I'm sure they can find Bridget on old Twitter, X, Facebook, private phone number, and Bridget can link that
over
to them if they want to follow your journey. But hey, Dan, appreciate you coming on. Bridget, thanks for getting Dan on the show here, and it was a fun conversation.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me.
No problem. All right, well, we'll take a short moment here. When we come back, we got another check on the forecast and maybe enough time to hit an ag topic or two. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the program. Thanks for rejoining us. Short segment here. Bridget, we got a lightning around it. Let's hit an ag topic real quick. Let's touch about the Busch Light Sports and Farmers.
You know that Busch Light does a fantastic job of raising money for places like Farm Rescue by having the corn cans that are very popular amongst the farm community. Busch Light has become the official partner and beer sponsor for something called Nitro Cross and the Nitro Circus, motorsports extraordinaires. These are exhibits that are held all across the U.S. I don't know enough about motorsports, but I do know that they've got some pretty nifty tracks. And one of the things that Busch Light is going to be is in limited areas. They are going to have a For the Farmer Awards during these Nitro Cross events. Local farmers and ranches are going to be presented with a $10,000 donation for their community projects. So thank you to Busch Light for once again stepping up to help rural communities and agriculture.
There you go. That's awesome. And maybe we'll come back and hit this on Monday, dive a little deeper into it. Forecast for the rest of the day. Sunny skies do go cloudy. Scattered showers and thundershowers by this evening. Weekend looking nice. A couple stray showers are possible, but as a whole, most of the area is staying dry during the day with temperatures in the low to mid-80s. Got another full check on the forecast and spells next week's forecast coming up with the Jay Thomas Show. That's coming up next here in about 7 minutes.